Kermit the Frog is a Sesame Street character, but he's also gained a lot of popularity recently with Dean Rojas. Dean, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be here.
Well, let's talk about Sam Rayburn a little bit. And I know coming off a second place finish, over 75 pounds of fish. You know, you think about most tournaments, you catch 75 pounds, you're going to go home with the big check. And second place isn't too bad, but you had 75 pounds of fish, and a lot of it had to do with Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, Kermit played a real big role, and as most of you know, Kermit is the Spro Bronze Eye Frog made by Gamagatsu. It's a frog that I designed a little over a year ago, and it's been absolutely wonderful in some of the tournaments that I fished and helped me get some real high finishes.
Well, you know, you think back now, okay, a year ago that thing came out, and it's still, you know, availability on the marketplace because it is so hot and because you're winning tournaments with it. It's really even hard to get yet, but it's coming out in bigger numbers now.
Yeah, the first initial 40,000 just flew out the door, and even now they're still trying to keep up with production. In fact, I was talking to my boss yesterday. He said 10,000 came in yesterday, and there's all 10,000 are shipping out today. So that's a good thing, because you know anytime you can come out with a lure like that that can build some excitement around the fishing and have that people want the bait, it makes it that much better.
Well, you know, you look back at 2004, and of course, we were at Lake Wylie at the Bassmaster Classic, and, you know, everybody's throwing crankbaits, deep ledges, all that kind of stuff, and here's Dean Rojas throwing a frog about as far back into the trees as you could possibly imagine, almost paid big dividends for you at the Classic.
Yeah, that one still haunts me a little bit, you know, and it wasn't because of the frog itself, it was more because of the water conditions. They were pulling water, and it just moved the fish out of the bushes and moved them out a little bit further, and, you know, if it would have stayed pretty much consistent throughout the tournament, I believe I would have won that one. I was having the bites, I fished a perfect, flawless tournament, I never lost a fish, and you know, had a limit every day, and was close in contention, you know, all 3 days. So having the frog there as one of my heavy hitters in my arsenal was definitely in my favor.
Well, at that point it was a different frog, but it had the same characteristics. I mean, what you developed with the Spro Bronze Eye was a result of you throwing the Sumo Frog, and you know, now you've got this frog, and we're at Sam Rayburn again. I'm going to shift back to it a little bit. You go down there, and you know that this is going to be a fairly shallow bite, or at least most people would think it would. A lot of pressure on that lake. Toledo Bend, of course, is very, very low. A lot of tournaments have shifted from Toledo Bend over to Sam Rayburn. When you go into a situation like this, and I'm going to pick your brain a little bit about this, you go to this situation, you got a shallow water bite, but you know these fish have been beat on a little bit. What are some of the things you look for to maybe get that fish that maybe hasn't been beat on?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, to you, you know, first is the actual bait itself. A frog is not something that is thrown very often, so the fish don't get accustomed to seeing it. And another thing is, you know, when they eat the frog, they eat it. They don't mess around with it. They don't throw it in the air or anything like that or swipe at it. When they usually go after it, they get it. They know exactly what it is and they want to eat it. The third thing is, you know, with all the fishing pressure, it never really bothered me to see all those boats out there, to know that, you know, there was a Strand Series or there was a Triple T or whatever it might be, you know, a week or two or 3 weeks before that, you know, and the lake's been pounded. The way the fish were biting, I didn't think they were pounded at all. I mean, they bit really good for me all 4 days, even in practice, they bit really well. And, you know, and a lot of it is presentation, is putting the bait in areas that, not normally the weekend angler would cast to. The bait itself is designed to fish around heavy cover and not to get hung up. So, and that's one of my main things was when I designed the bait, is to where it would not, you know, snag or hang up, when throwing it into thick cover. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was targeting fish that weren't getting any pressure. They were a fish away from the banks or the edge of the brush lines or tree lines or whatever it might be. And when those fish would come out, they just engulf it. They just would gobble it up. And, you know, and the key thing about that, Terry, was the rod and the reel and the line that I was using, because a lot of that, it all works in conjunction with each other. They all help each other out. The bait gets the bite. The line has no stretch. It's a 65-pound Iserline Spectra braid. Which is a real soft, limp braid line that I use for skipping the frog and for using it over grass. It doesn't stretch. And 65-pound braid, you can get good hook penetration and get those fish moving towards you. Of course, you got to have the right rod for that too. And I designed a rod for Quantum, and it's the Dean Rojas frog rod. And it's a rod that has about 8 inches of the very top of it is very limber to where you can work the frog, but the rest of the rod is almost a broomstick, and you need that, especially when we make those long casts up underneath the cover or, you know, on that isolated piece of cover. You want to get good hook penetration. You want a rod that's not going to give. You're going to have a good hook set when you do that. And then you got to have a good reel to do that. And, you know, I've been using the Quantum PT 6.3:1 gear ratio over the years. And I've had some problems with trying to keep up with the fish, because as soon as they eat the frog, they want to jump. And a lot of times they're coming towards me, you know, towards the boat. So it's hard sometimes to try and keep up with them in the 6.3. Well, Quantum built me a 7:1 burner reel, which is the fastest reel on the market right now. For every crank, one revolution, the spool does 7 revolutions. So, and that enables you to gather up a lot of line in a hurry. So I haven't had a fish try to outrun me yet, Terry, with that PT reel.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you were making a run. It was windy. A lot of times you couldn't sight fish, which I know you're an expert sight fisherman too, but you weren't able to do that. And in some occasions with the wind, you went into an area, you made that long run, and you got there. You knew about what you had each day, because each day was pretty consistent. With 75 pounds, you're catching pretty much the same bag every day.
Yeah, I had anywhere from, I think my smallest bag was a high 17, and my biggest one was 21 pounds. So, and I stayed in that area all 4 days. And actually, the wind itself really helped me in fishing the areas that I wanted to key on, because a lot of the areas were just, you know, they were slick calm. And then some of the other areas were getting washed out from the wind. And we had a couple times where the wind shift direction. So a lot of the banks that were getting pounded with the wind got slick. And you know, those fish are still there. They're not going to move, you know. So you go up there and you find a new batch, or you fish the cover that was there that was available. But with the main thing is we had consistent weather all 4 days. We had overcast skies, drizzly, dreary, you know, high 60s, you know, in that range. And we had the water temperature was anywhere range from 60 degrees up to 64 degrees, 65 in some places, and that was optimum for me. And I wanted that cloud cover, I wanted that drizzle, I wanted that wind, I wanted all that, you know, because I knew that what I was doing when I was sight fishing was one of my main inkies, and throwing the frog were the two main factors that work well under those conditions. And we had stable weather, and that was the key.
Well, you know, if you think back at it now, you know, and those days when you shifted up and maybe saw a sight fish and went and caught that fish, were they in areas that, you know, where there was brush? Was it all grass? What kind of sight fishing were you doing? Was there a mixture? And what kind of depth were you fishing?
Terry, it was a little bit of both. And some of the times I would just go down the bank and just key on the outside grass line, you know, the closest grass to the shoreline. And those were, it seemed like, where the bigger ones were bedding at. And I would just go down the bank, throwing Kermit just down the bank, and I would see, you know, a big one, you know, and I would mark them and come back around and catch them and so forth. In other cases, you know, the fish that had their beds, they were buried in the tree or the bush. And on the last day, I remember I caught one just under 5 pounds that was just, I mean, he was in the middle of a tree. I mean, I had to use 25-pound odge line to pull him out of there. You know, it was a good one. It was a really nice one. But they all, you know, some were just wide open out in the middle of nowhere, and other ones were buried in a bush. And, you know, same thing with Kermit. The second day of the last day of the tournament, I caught one, a 5.2, just out in the open, you know, just fan casting. And you know, I would have never caught it if I wouldn't have been throwing it. Because I just threw it on an open bank, you know, and the fish came up and clobbered it. So, you know, it's just something that I would use Kermit as I'm going down the bank looking for the actual visual bass. But you know, I would have the opportunity to get a big one to come up and eat it.
Well, I think that maybe a few people are watching you now. Maybe a year ago they might have thought this was a bit of a gimmick, but there's somebody asking for some baits. Who is that?
Pretty much everybody on tour right now. But it was kind of funny because after I got off the stage, Denny Brower came by me, came up to me, and he says, you know, he says, I need to throw old Kermit around some of the trees that I'm fishing. And I told him, I said, you need to stay away from old Kermit and keep with that jig. You know, that jig has won you a lot of money. Let me have my frog over here, and you can go ahead and do that. He goes, no. He says, I think I want to play a little bit. And he says, and I'm surprised you hadn't sent me a box of them frogs yet. And I go, why would I want to do that?
You don't want to help the competition,
no,
do you?
No, like, that's like handing a six-shooter to a gunfighter, you know. He's going to toast you with it, you know.
Well, Dean, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. You know, one of the true consummate professionals, a guy that's out there and really whacking them this year, heavy into the points, Chase, and good luck to you the rest of the
way. Thanks, T.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.